few years back, when I was still doing my truck driving job, I had a driver that I was supervising who was totally dependent on his GPS device. He would enter the location and he'd have to deliver to 20 different locations, but each time he would enter in and he would follow it to the letter. He would watch the little thing move and he would listen to the voice, and when the voice said stop, he stopped, and when the voice said turn, he turned. He was completely dependent on the device. One day when his truck broke down, I had to go and rescue him. And we moved the food from one truck, from his truck onto my truck, and we waited for the tow truck to come, and then we proceeded to do the rest of his deliveries. But I drove. But as we were moving around between the last of his deliveries, and we were going through familiar territory, these were customers that we delivered to 3 and 4 times a week. We were driving along, and he made the statement, I don't think I've ever been here before. I don't think I've ever, 3 and 4 times a week, he knew that area, he knew the customers, but he was looking around because he wasn't driving, and he said, I don't think I've ever been here before. His focus was just beyond the bumper of his truck every time he went there, and he didn't see anything around him. The GPS told him to go, and he went. Turn, and he turned. He couldn't see the forest for the trees that were right in front of him. Have you ever heard that statement before? He was so in close to the trees that he couldn't see that there was a beautiful forest around him. He was so locked in on the device and on making a turn or making the right stop that he didn't see the surroundings. He didn't see the city around him. He actually thought he had never been in that area before. In his letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, Paul has been addressing lots of details about what following Jesus looks like. He's talked to people how they're supposed to get along with one another. He's talked about sex. He's talked about what food you can eat and what food you can't eat. He's talked about what women can wear to church. He's talked about how you do the Lord's Supper. He's talked about spiritual gifts and love. Everything Paul's had to say up to this point may have started to sound to his listeners like a list of rules. This is how you're supposed to live. Do spiritual gifts this way, love this way, sex this way, women dressed this way. Like a list of rules. Paul recognizes that when he gets to chapter 15. Maybe this is sounding a little bit too much like a list of rules. He gets a little bit afraid and wants to maybe back off or at least reframe what he's saying. In chapter 15, Paul sort of starts with saying, don't lose the forest for the trees. Don't get caught in all the details. Don't get caught so deeply in the details that you forget the bigger picture of what God is doing. Behavior is important. The details are important. But remember the big picture, the big story of what God is doing in the world, Remember the story of Jesus and what Jesus did. Don't get stuck in another list of rules. You've just been delivered from that. See your life in the context of the story of God working to fix his world through Jesus Christ, a story that begins in Genesis and finds its completion in Jesus. Well, as Paul goes along, he starts to think some may have just resorted to that set of rules. They may have actually thought that that's what he was telling them, because some of them, he says in chapter 15 in the early verses, some of you are denying the resurrection. You see, when you get into a list of rules, when religion becomes doing the right thing, you don't need Jesus anymore. You just need to follow all the right rules. So some of you have listened to what I said and what I taught, and you've turned it into a set of rules. And by doing that, you're denying the resurrection. You're losing the forest for the trees, says Paul. Don't forget the story, the big story of what God has done. God creating a good, a perfect creation. Everything the way it was supposed to be. And human beings messing it up. But God coming and saying, I'll fix it. And in spite of human failure for years and generations, God comes through on his promise. Don't forget that big picture as you're trying to work out the details of your life. Don't forget what God has already been doing in Jesus Christ. Because without the resurrection, your faith is in vain. Why do it? That's what he says in chapter 15. Why even do it? It's worthless. It's empty. He goes so far as to say, if that's the way you're going to do it, you're pitied because somebody's pulled the wool over your eyes. It's a hoax. So now, in chapter 15, after he's sort of said, okay, don't go the way of rules. Don't forget the resurrection. Here's the story. This is the big picture. This is what you want to get as you work out the details of your life. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 28. But Christ... See, some had been saying there's no need for resurrection. Paul says, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own turn. Christ, the first fruits. Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says everything has been put under his feet, under him, it is clear that this doesn't include God himself, who put everything under Christ. But when Christ has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. Well, maybe that's not so clear. Maybe that story's not so clear. So let's talk a little more. Here's the story. This is the story Paul's referring to. This is the forest he doesn't want us to forget. The NIV says, Christ indeed has been raised from the dead. Other versions say, in fact. So Paul is essentially saying, here's the facts. The fact is, Christ has been raised from the dead. That's a fact. Early in chapter 15, he says he appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. There was one time where he appeared to 500 people, and then to James and all the apostles. And then finally, Paul says, he appeared to me. Jesus is raised from the dead. That's a fact. That's where Paul starts. That's the story. That's the story he wants us to remember. What an amazing fact. What an amazing story. Jesus died and rose again. Raised from the dead. Dead people don't. Jesus is raised from the dead. Paul goes on to describe the magnitude of that event. Jesus being raised from the dead is the most significant part of the story. This being raised from the dead changes everything for Paul. The story's going along in this direction. And the resurrection turns us in the opposite way. The world is actually changed because of Christ's resurrection. This is a new world that we live in after Jesus was raised. The course of history is changed. Something has been set in motion that cannot be stopped. A power has been released through the resurrection, a power over death and sin that cannot be stopped. Paul is excited because this forest, this big story, this story of God creating and God promising to fix, now has a new chapter. And in that new chapter, God keeps his promises. This is a chapter about redemption. This is a chapter about restoration. Prior to this, everything's been going wrong. But now God says, not only have I promised to fix, but it is fixed. That's the story of the resurrection. That's the story of restoration. Jesus fixes the broken world. So what's this story all about? What's getting fixed? What does Paul want us to keep our eyes on? Well, the first thing he talks about is the fact that humanity is being restored. Paul said, if Jesus is raised from the dead, then he's just the first fruits. That means if Jesus is raised from the dead, we too will be raised from the dead. This world, this life, the struggles, the pain, the disease, the uncertainties are not the last word. Our bodies, we as human beings created by God, are being restored. That's a result of the resurrection. That's the reality we inhabit right now. Death does not have the last word. Suffering, heartache, pain, and weariness do not win. Paul says, in Adam, all of us are headed toward death. Whoever's a human being, whoever is born into this world, is heading toward death. That's the result of sin. As a result of one man's sin, the whole world is heading towards death. But in Christ, because of his one action, the trajectory toward death is turned in the opposite direction. No longer are we limited to death, but we can experience life. Not just somewhere in the future. Oh, yes, of course, in the future. But that life is already right now. That future that God wants for us, we can experience already right now. That's the story of the resurrection. That's what God's restoring through Jesus Christ already right now. Who we are, who we are supposed to be, what our lives look like. He wants us not only to expect and anticipate and wait for eternal life, he actually wants us to grab hold of eternal life and bring it down into the present and let it make a difference where we live today. In our brokenness, in a world that doesn't work, God says, look to the future that I've promised your bodies. Your bodies will be healed. Your bodies will be well. Claim that already now. Know that it's coming, but experience it already now as well. Know that. Experience that. But humanity being restored is only one piece of the story. God created the whole world. The whole world was plunged into sin. And now in Jesus Christ, he's restoring humanity, but he's also restoring the whole creation. All the powers, all the principalities, everything will be put under Jesus' feet. He will rule the entire creation once again, just as God did in the beginning. Everything that's wrong, not only in us, but around us, is being fixed because of what Jesus did. That's the story, that's the forest Paul wants us to see. As we try to live our lives, try to understand what it is to follow Jesus Christ. Remember that he's restoring you as a human, but he's restoring the world around you as well. And let that influence your thinking and the way that you live. Because everything in the creation is important to God, and every piece of it he wants to make good and right again. So join him. Join him in your family life. Join him in your personal life, in your personal health. But join him in protecting the planet. Join him in fighting climate change. Join him in making that future world present in our world right here, right now, today. That's the forest. That's the story Paul wants us to remember. But there's even more. Paul says that God himself is somehow being restored in what Jesus Christ did. Because Jesus, after everything is done, Jesus hands the kingdom back to God. And God will be all in all, just the way he was when he created the world. When Jesus is done, when the resurrection and the power of the resurrection is complete, God will be all in all. God will receive all the glory he's due. Everything that sin took away from God is given back to God. And even more than that, what God gave up in order to win that world back, in order to restore that creation, he gave his one and only Son. God gets that back as well. That's part of his being all in all. Jesus hands it over and he sits alongside of God to rule and reign forever. That's the big picture. Yes, we're being restored. The world is being restored. But God is getting his due. God is becoming all in all. This is the new reality. This is the story that's unfolding in our lives and our world right now, right here, today. Paul is saying, when it comes to living the Christian life, live like that's real. Live like humanity's already restored. Live like I'm restoring my creation. Live to give all glory to God in everything. Even when it doesn't look like it's real. Even when you're in amongst the trees, even when you're in the struggles trying to figure out how to be Christian in your work, in your family, in your community, remember the forest. Remember the story of what God is doing and live like that story is real right here, right now. Yesterday, we sat with someone whose life has taken some interesting turns over the years. She finds herself estranged from certain family members, even some of her own children are sort of at odds with her. She's moved around from Alberta to British Columbia and now in Toronto. And we hadn't seen her for many years and we didn't ask lots of questions. We don't know all the details except what we hear from other of her family members. But when we sat down to talk, she said, life's complicated. Life's complicated. Many of us know what that means, right? It's hard to figure out how to live the Christian life. It's hard to know what to do in any given circumstance and situation, and life can be very complicated. And we can experience very much brokenness. Paul knew that. That's why he sent the letter in the first place. He's trying to help people sift through all those dynamics of what it is to be a Christian. He wanted to help them know how to respond to all those matters that we listed at the beginning. But Paul says that's not a set of rules. We're not going back to the law where you have to save yourself. This is trying to sift through the new reality that we live in. It's not a new set of rules to live by. We have a story. We have the story. It's your story. It's my story. Remember the old hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, born in his blood. Blessed assurance, how does it go? It's about my story, right? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. We have a story. We're not rule-based people. We're story-based people. The story of what God did in creating the world, the story of God's restoration and the restoration that will be complete in eternity. That's our story. I love to tell the story. That's my assurance. That's my song. God is restoring all of humanity. God is restoring the world around us. God is restoring everything the way He intended it to be. That's my story. That's what Paul wants us to keep in perspective as we sort out the nitty-gritty details of our lives. That's the forest. That's the story. Let's not lose sight of it for the trees. Amen. Lord God, we live in a world that longs for certainty. And sometimes we're prone to want to know what the rules are. We want the handbook. We want to know what to do. God, remind us of the story. The story of your salvation. The story of how you are in Jesus Christ fixing everything that's wrong in the world. God, help us to have eyes to see and hearts that beat with yours so that we can walk into situations, sometimes new situations, sometimes situations that we can't explain, sometimes situations that are so, so complicated. But we can walk into that, not having an answer, not saying this is what you have to do, A, B, C, but being able to say, I know that God will be all in all. And I know that God wants His world to be right. And I know that God wants what's right for me. So with that confidence, with that assurance, we walk into the struggles. We walk into the pain. We walk into the confusion. Because we know that the trouble, that the pain, that the confusion is not the last word. What you've done in Jesus Christ is the last word. Our world belongs to you. So God, even when it doesn't look like it, even when disease racks our bodies, even when uncertainty seems to take our feet out from underneath us, help us to know. Help us to see the forest, to hear the story of who you are and what you've done and what you're doing. Help us to hear it deeply, be changed by it, and let it shape us into the people you want us to be in the middle of that mess. Lord God, equip us with the story of what you've done in Jesus Christ. Let the significance of the resurrection ooze from every fiber of our being. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.